Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
When I was invited to speak at a school in Russia, in a place where I'd never been before, I was immediately confronted with two questions. One, where is this place? And two, how do I get there from here? Strange as it may seem, most people plan on going to heaven when they die, according to pollsters, but they haven't the faintest idea how to get there. Question. Friend, if you stood at the door of God's heaven today and knocked, and Peter met you at the door, and he asked, "Why should I let you in?" what would you say? Difficult question, right? You know, it could happen. You're planning on going there eventually. But what opens the door? Some people believe that it's essential goodness. They think that being a good person, basically a good family person, a good neighbor, honest at least most of the time, you know, treat the other person like you want him to treat you stuff, that's what it takes to get inside. God, they reason, could not say no to anybody who's better than most other people. Strangely enough, there are those who make no claim to being a Christian, who are really much nicer, much more generous, and much friendlier than those who are supposed to be born again. If you chose someone to share a deserted island with, it wouldn't be your sourpuss neighbor who says he's a Christian. It would probably be the beer-drinking guy who tells off-color stories who's really a nice guy. How explain that? C.S. Lewis, the Cambridge University professor, faced the same issue. He said the answer is not how nice one person is and how sour the other is. The real issue is how much worse the Christian would have been apart from the touch of God on his life. That makes sense. Others believe that their good deeds, their generosity, their voting the right ticket, whatever that means, their being a good neighbor, is all that it takes. It's kind of an extension of argument number one. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that, but the Bible says that all of our goodness, however nice that may be, falls short of reaching the distance between us and God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your sins have separated between you and God." Now, suppose you had to cross a chasm, a deep, dark one in the mountains. It's 25 feet across. Suppose you're the athletic type and you can jump 24 feet 9 inches. Is that good enough? No, not in any language of the world. Paul said simply, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No exceptions. The word "all" leaves no loopholes. Again, he wrote, "God saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Did you catch that phrase, rebirth? It was the same analogy that Jesus used when he had a conversation with a man who was really a good man, generous, kind, and moral. His name was Nicodemus. The man was religious too, but Jesus told him that unless he was born again, he couldn't see the kingdom of God. How do you get there from where you are? Three simple steps. One, acknowledge your need of this relationship, which means you accept what Jesus did as God's free gift. Two, believe with all your heart that God will receive you on the basis of what Christ did. And then three, confess Christ as Lord and Savior.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.